The Bible reading tonight is from the first epistle of John and the chapter 4. First epistle of John and the chapter 4. And I'm reading from the first verse of the chapter and looking at a passage that was most relevant in the time in which John was writing, and equally so, if not more so, in our own day and generation. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The Apostle John is writing in this chapter words of great caution to the Lord's people, to the Church of Jesus Christ. And he sets out in the first place. He sounds a warning. He warns of danger. There's a danger that he has in view. He says in the opening verse, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He's warning here of the danger of false spirits, evil spirits, the influence of evil spirits that propagate a message that is false. And that influence of evil spirits manifests itself in false prophets. And of course, the word prophet means one who declares, one who makes a declaration, one who comes with a message. And John, here in this text, reminds the church, warns the church, that there are many false prophets gone out into the world. He warns of the spirit of Antichrist that should come. Whereof, in verse 3, he says, ye have heard that it should come, and even now, already, is it in the world. There is an evil spirit that would propagate error, that would propagate falsehood, a false message, a message that has no basis, no substance in truth, a message that is not of God. And so he's writing to warn the church. He says, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every prophet. Do not believe every message, every word, every declaration that you hear. Do not take it at face value. Do not be gullible. Do not receive it as truth automatically, without questioning, without scrutinizing, without endeavoring to determine whether it is truth or whether it is error. He says in verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits. In order to ascertain their origin, whether they are of God, whether they are based upon truth, or whether they are the subtle propagation of error. Notice this language that John uses. He speaks of false prophets. He speaks of the spirit of Antichrist. He speaks in verse 6 of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the caution that John gives to the church. This is the danger that he warns the church of. We're not to believe everything that we hear, whether it is in the religious realm, whether it's in the theological realm, whether it's in the realm of what's happening in the world. Take, for instance, the situation that we have found ourselves in over recent months with this disease, and we hear many things. We're not to take it at face value. We're not to be gullible and just accept everything that we hear. That's what John is saying to us. Beloved, believe not every spirit. There are false prophets. There is the spirit of error. And therefore, as Christians, we must recognize this danger. We must recognize this snare that exists. And we should not be gullible. We should not take everything at face value. He is sounding this danger, this caution that is to be manifested in the church. But then notice in the second place that John also highlights the discernment that Christians ought to have. He says, put them to the test. Try the spirits. And the word try there means to test. Test their authenticity. Test their genuineness. Test whether they are true or whether they are false. In verse 2, he tells us how we are to test the spirit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you will know if something is of the Spirit of God, if something has originated with him. And he gives an illustration, he gives an example. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, he's making a reference there to the doctrine of the incarnation. The fact that Jesus Christ had actually come in the flesh, that he had taken human form. He is the second person of the Godhead. He has existed from all eternity as the Son of God and God the Son. But the biblical revelation, the revelation of God that he has given in Scripture, declares that the Saviour, the Messiah, will come in the flesh. He will take human form. He will become God incarnate. Now, John is taking this doctrine. And remember that the doctrine has been revealed in the Scripture. This is a scriptural doctrine. This is a doctrine that derives from the divine revelation that God has given in his word. And he says the origin of this is the Spirit of God. So, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. In other words, they agree. They are in agreement with what God has revealed. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So if someone comes along and says that Messiah has not come yet, Messiah is not incarnate, that Jesus Christ is not the incarnate God, well, right away he says, you know, that's not of God. That doesn't originate with the Lord. That doesn't come from the Lord. That is contrary to what God has revealed. So the apostle is identifying how we test the spirits by this example. He is showing us that the way in which we test the spirits is with the revealed truth that God has given in his word. If we want to know whether something originates with the Holy Spirit of God, then we will find that in agreement with Scripture. The Spirit of God has given, to us the inspired Scriptures. And that revelation of Scripture has at its center the person of the Son of God in his redeeming work. John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples on the eve of his death said, in verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." The Spirit of God reveals to us the person and work of the Lord Jesus. That revelation has now been committed to writing in the written Scriptures. And therefore, if we want to know if something is of the Spirit, it will not contradict what he has revealed in Scripture. This is the test. This is the litmus test. The divine revelation in Scripture is the litmus test by which we can determine and discern whether something is of God or not, whether it is the Spirit of truth or the Spirit of error. We bring it to the Scripture. In Isaiah's time, the message was to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Scriptures were the rule of faith in Isaiah's day. They were also the rule of faith in John's day. And they continue to be the rule of faith right through this age, this New Testament era, until the Lord comes back. If we want to test whether something is of God or of Satan, of an evil spirit, then we must bring it to the Scripture. We must ask, what saith the Scripture? The Word of God is the basis for what we believe. And the Word of God is what will make Christians to be discerning. We are to be discerning. There is a danger that he warns of, the presence of false prophets, the presence of error, the spirit of error that is abroad in the world. It's a very real danger. We must not be naive. We must not be like the ostrich and bury our heads in the sand as if it did not exist. There are many false prophets gone out into the world. And therefore, he exhorts the church to be discerning. We are to try the spirits. We are to put them to the test. Just don't believe everything or anything that comes along dressed up in religious garb, seeming plausible. No, we must put them to the test. We must be discerning Christians in these days. And the way in which we put them to the test is to bring them to the Word of God. The Scriptures are the fixed reference point. The Scriptures never change. There's many things change over time. Through the course of a lifetime, many things change. Opinions change, ideas change, practices change, people change. But the Word of God doesn't change. It liveth and abideth forever. It is the fixed point of reference. And when everything is changing round about us, and we're living in a time of momentous change, beliefs and practices that have been long accepted are being turned on their head. It seems as if society is being turned on its head. And all around us, there are changes. What ought we to do? Are we to be carried away with every wind of doctrine? Or would we to be just swept along in the flood of all kinds of beliefs and opinions? No, we have a fixed reference point. It is the Word of God. And we must come to the Scripture. If ever there was a time, if ever there was a day when the church needed to be brought once more to the Scriptures, it is now, when there are sweeping changes on every hand. We must come to the Word of God. That's how we try the spirits. There is a danger, but we are to be discerning. We are to try the spirits, and this is how we put them to the test, by bringing their message to the Word of God, to the Scriptures of truth. And if it agrees with Scripture, it is of God. If it doesn't agree with Scripture, it's not of God. It's not of God. Then you'll notice finally the distinction that John identifies. In verse 4, he says to the Christians to whom he's writing, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Notice there are two groups there, ye and them. Those who are of God and those who are not of God. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." They are of the world. "Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God." Notice the distinction, they and we, they and we. There are two groups here. There is a dividing line between them, a line of demarcation. You're either on one side or you're on the other. He says, they are of the world. "Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." They are received by the world. They are applauded by the world. The world receives them. But he says in verse 6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us." And what he means by that is that when he's speaking here of "we are of God," he's referring to himself and the other apostles and the revelation that they have received from Jesus Christ. And the apostles and prophets are the foundation, not they themselves, but rather the message, the revelation that was given to them by the Lord constitutes the foundation on which the church is built. And he says, the person who knows God will hear, will gladly hear and receive what we have said, will receive it as the truth. "He that is not of God heareth not us." So the unsaved man, the man who's not saved, the unsaved prophet, as it were, the false prophet, he doesn't have any respect for the Word of God. He doesn't hear God's Word. He doesn't listen to it, because he's not of God. There is a distinction. This is how we discern. This is how we recognize the difference between those who belong to the Lord and those who do not. Verse 6, "Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There is a siding with truth. Someone who knows God, someone who has been born of God, will align himself with the truth that God has revealed. The person who does not align himself with God's revealed truth only manifests the fact that he is not of God. This is the distinction that John sets forth. The distinction that will exist between those who are of the Lord, who know the Lord, and those who do not. There is an inclination towards the revealed truth. There is an acceptance of it, a glad acceptance, and an identification with it. Now John spoke these words in his day. And these words were relevant then. The message that he is advocating here, the counsel, the caution, was relevant in his day. And it is just as much relevant, if not more so, in this time. Because he speaks of the future. In verse number 3, he says, "This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world." So, the church then knew that there was coming a time when there would be great delusion, when there would be great deception spreading across the world. And is it not true to say that we have now been brought to that time? Whether it be in the religious world, in the theological setting, whether it be in the social setting, in the political realm, when we look out over the world, there is a spirit of error. There is great delusion. The Bible says that God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The lie, the delusion, will abound and spread in the end of this age. The whole world will wander after the beast and will be influenced by that spirit of error. Therefore, the people of God ought to take these words earnestly to heart. Remember the danger, many false prophets in the world, the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist, the discernment that is needed. We must try the spirits, put them to the test, test them according to the word of God, and then note the distinction. They that are of the world will not hear what God has said in his word, but they that are of God will abide by God's precious word. This is the line of demarcation. This is the distinction. And this is what's needed once more within the church of Jesus Christ. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May the Lord bless this meditation to all of our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.